and thank you for tuning in to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Before moving, we want to quickly move into tonight's topic because I feel that it is, once again, a very interesting and a much-needed discussion, so we don't want to waste any time. So we're going to move quickly through our housekeeping things. For those of you who are listening online with us, and I'm reminding myself, sorry, I have not opened up the chat line, but I'm going to do that now. So if you are listening online with us and you do have a comment or a question for this show, please know that you can submit your comments and questions through the chat line. So it is now open. You can also use the call-in number. I see that many of you are already out on the lines with that, so thank you for coming in pretty quickly. But if you are listening by phone, you do have to select the number 1 in order for us to pull you into queue. So if you have anything, and we hope that you do share tonight, please share, because this is how we are able to identify, to become aware by discussing these type of issues. And your questions add to the show as well, because what you may think about this or the questions that you may bring could open up an entire different light on it, another perspective of it. So please be prepared to share tonight your comments and questions. But you do have to select the number 1. The way that I will pull you in is I will identify the number that you're calling from by providing you the first your area code, so the first 3 numbers, that's your area code, and the last 4 digits of the number that you are calling from. So be mindful of that number, and please be prepared to tell us where you're calling from and go ahead and give us your comment or question in a timely manner. So please do that as well. Want to remind you guys of the trash can concept, and because we always have new listeners tuning in, I want to continue to do that. For those of you who have been with us from the beginning, be mindful, and I thank you for your patience during this process. I have some new information to share about the trash can concept, and let me tell you what that is for you new people. But we ask, on the Butterfly Evolution Show, we ask that you often move things just to incorporate change in your world, because as you know, things change. The days change, the seasons change, we change. So often we get so caught up in being just in an everyday routine. And so in order to promote change in your life, we ask that you move something, and something specific, which is the trash can, maybe in your kitchen. Move it from where it is now, just maybe across the way on a different wall or something, and then monitor how often you return back to its old location. You will really be surprised how often you return back to its old location. In doing that, think about how the mind keeps up with things, even the smallest things, as to where you put your trash. So your mind will take you right back there. Now, in saying that, I had an aha moment a few days ago. I moved my trash can again, and I thought that I had kind of gotten this down and I'm doing good at this. But I had trash in one hand. I moved the trash can with my left hand from one wall to the next. Then I went back to where I moved it from with the trash in my hand to put it in there. And, I had a Butterfly Evolution moment. So I shared that with a few people, and they just kind of laughed at me, because it really does, again, just says how quickly, even though I moved it in the same concept, in the same time frame, I still took the trash that I had in the other hand back to where I had just moved it from. So, again, that promotes change. And, again, we have to be able to adapt to change, because some things we have no control over, and you have to be able to adapt, deal with it, and prepare to move on. So please, if you've never did that before, do that. Do it with your family, with your kids. Keep record, keep score, but please do it. We have a very special guest on with us tonight, and I want to introduce him and then allow him to give you some information about who he is, where he's from, just as much information as he would like to give. And then what I'm going to do from there is kind of tell you how he and I were able to connect through Facebook. And I know a number of people listen to us that don't have Facebook. And I can tell you, Facebook is what you make of it. I make it a positive part of my world. And in saying that, I'm honored to be a part of it, because I wouldn't be able to meet people like to do the show and even interact with, have conversations with without Facebook. So I'm thankful for that purpose, because this is how I learned about Mr. Curry. So without further ado, I'm going to have him introduce himself and what we're talking about tonight, because tonight's, you know, an off night, so to speak. We usually are on Mondays, but we're talking about the movie Temptations, the Tyler Perry movie, not solely just about the movie, but the movie in itself, the message behind the movie. And so keep an open mind here, and also reflect on past movies, not just Tyler Perry, many others, just the movie world alone in itself, about what we put before us and in our minds and in our thoughts. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the images that the movies portray, and then what effect it leaves on our mental state. So, Mr. Curry, if you would come on and just say hello, tell us as much as you want to tell us about you, and particularly where you're from and where you live now, and just kind of what's going on in your world, and then we'll go into the article that I was able to read and then contact you. So you have the floor.
Peace. I appreciate the invitation, first and foremost. I appreciate the justice, you know, opening up her show to deal with a topic like this. Just a little bit about myself. I'm born and bred and raised in Kansas City, Missouri. You know, I actually live now on the West Coast, in the San Francisco Bay Area. I'm pretty active in teaching children out here, trying to, you know, really get the information out that we need to uplift ourselves, to re-educate ourselves, and to, you know, be able to change the mindset that's been ingrained in us for so long that it's hard for us to even envision ourselves doing something different. So that's really my direction and, you know, what I do now, you know. So I'll keep that part brief so we can dig right in into the subject.
Okay. That alone, I want to just kind of focus a little bit on what you said, active in teaching children, uplifting and educating people, and then changing the mindset. Those three things, and I want to say give thanks, because the Butterfly Evolution is so about all three of those things. Particularly, I want people to really focus on tonight, and this is a topic, as many other topics, that we as people don't want to discuss things that really will incorporate change in our lives, because it takes work. It takes work to remove all that negative stuff that we've allowed to accumulate in our lives, in our bodies, those things that make us emotionally depleted, that they deplete us so much so that we don't know who we are anymore. Our identity is gone. I was telling someone today that called me about this show that we're not only transformed, you know, but with the things in this world that are going on, we have become addicted to it. It has become our lifestyle, so much so to we've lost our own identity, or we've lost the ability to search and determine who we are and keep our values and integrity. We become lost. We depend on this sick society to make or break our day. And that, to me, it has to come from changing your mindset. It has to come from really digging deep and determining what your bondage is. I mean, and if you don't do that, and if you don't want that for yourself, want that for your children, want it enough for them to encourage them to do different, to think different, to live different, just because you feel there's no hope for you, don't allow that to become your child's future. And that's what bothers me the most, is seeing it. Not that I want anybody to stay where they are, but I have a true issue with parents being okay with being hopeless, but wanting that same, or being okay, because I won't say that you want it, but being okay, accepting that this is what I have to give to my child. Even he or she might as well be hopeless, because there is no hope. Well, I just refuse to go that way. There have been times in my life where I have been deep down hopeless, but I never, ever wanted to instill that or wanted my child to see that. I always have been able to keep hope alive that his life will be different and better. And I would die to make that happen, still to this day. And I want parents who feel that they are in that state of hopelessness, I want you guys, if not for you, want it and help make sure that your children get there. And to go into this show, I want to share something with you guys that I was able to be a part of last Saturday. I went to a Marvin Gaye 10th anniversary concert. They were doing a concert in honor of Marvin Gaye. And it's been a long time since I've been out in that setting and in the crowd. And I've become quite the people watcher this last year or so. And I tell you, I was just, it almost just killed my spirit to see the number of people. Number one, our cell phones, and I'm going to call these distractions. We're at a live event, great music, and I would say about 95% of the people never put their phones down. And I would say about, and I mean, that means holding them in their hands. And I would say about another 75% were on the phones. And maybe 40% couples, meaning a man and a woman were together, both had cell phones out. I saw no one communicating. It was people who came to the show together, came to enjoy a show together, were communicating with Facebook, like during the show, the entire show. And then I saw women that were probably my age, at least 44, 50, maybe plus, just so out of character in my eyes. I can expect this from 21. I can deal with the thing. Yeah, we live and we grow. But to see possibly someone's grandmother, someone's mother behave as a woman in that sense. And I thank God that I finally get it. I remember hearing in my day that a woman just can't do what a man can do. That doesn't mean that a man has the right to just do whatever. I'm not saying that. But it's, some things just don't look good on a lady. Their character, the way they portray themselves, the dignity, the respect, the integrity, the values. So a number of things happened during that show. And it left me thinking, the young girls that I work with, I'm sending them back home to, this is their lifestyle, this is grandmama, this is mother, this is what they see leave the house, this is what they see come back in. This is their conversation, which is probably none, because I'm looking at people who can't even conversate when they're out together. So their phone is their conversation, the other side of the phone. So all these things went through my head in preparation for this show. Because, again, we are buying into what society is selling us. And they're not selling anything good. But it's up to us to make a decision if we're going to buy it. And this is your life. This is your children's life. This is your grandchildren's life. So I want to pull a few things. Anything on that before we go into the letter? Andre, for the anything you want to just feel free to stop me and jump right in. Anything on anything I said?
Well, you know, I think you touched on so many topics that play not only our community, but every community probably across the world at this point. I think we're caught up in a society that is teaching us not to think. We tend to, unfortunately, look at ourselves as ultra-intelligent, but our devices, our way of life, actually delivers a method of non-thought and more towards programming. And so when we deal with that, we got to understand, like I said, you've seen people on a date not communicating. You know, and when me and my queen go out places, we notice that all the time. You know, we'll have conversations like, wow, I've seen them, and they haven't said one thing, or you'll see the couples, just as you touched on, each one have their phone out. What does that say about their relationship? You know, how is that relationship being built? Is that relationship being built? You know, if that is what you're doing with your so-called mate, what are you doing with your children? What type of quality time are you spending with them? I often try to urge parents to spend a day, a couple of hours out of a day at the library. Spend a few minutes a day reading with your children, not telling them to go read, but reading with them. Sometimes, you know, purposeful activities on your own part as a parent, you're sitting there and letting your children see that you are reading a book. You know, these things have an effect on them. And so when we talk about, just as you said, being willing to die to make sure that our children do something different, we have to be willing to live. But I actually, you know, I'm sure all of us hear a lot of times parents to say that I want to make sure my children have a better life than I did. Well, most parents, and I do use the word most, because we've all been indoctrinated until we decide to open up our minds and look at something different, that making sure they have a better life actually stops and starts with finance. And that is the program that we have. And that's the unfortunate part. We think that as parents, because we get up, we go to work, we make X amount of dollars, and because we make more than our parents, we're giving our children something different, which you're not. Because if you have a child, what they want and what's the most valuable thing from a parent, all of them in unison will tell you time. But you can't spend time with your child when you're on the phone, when you're on Facebook, when you're on CNN. That's not time. Presence does not equal time. So we have to get past that, and hopefully, as we talked about, we can give the audience that you have some tools to help them go in the direction of actually re-educating the mind towards how to do these things, because I don't believe in just talking about it. You can't tell a dad, well, you know, the answer to our community is, you know, dads need to be dads. Well, how does a dad be a dad? What is that? Let's define dad. Let's define a man. What is that? How do you do that? What do they need to read to re-educate themselves? And what is the first step towards that process? We have to break it down to that level. So hopefully we can do that, and hopefully someone can listen to the show and get that type of information out of it tonight.
Thank you. I love what you said, that society teaches us not to think. And people, really listen to the things that are being said here tonight and think about where you are in your life and think about the choices. You know, from this movie, I love the way you talked about and what you wrote. And I'm going to read that for the most part. I'm going to read the majority of it, but how we begin to act upon these negative images, particularly when they are glamorized. And we're so caught up in anything that the emotional state. We are so in tuned in feeding our emotional state, even in our religion, even in church. We have many passages that appeal to your emotional state, not your transformation, not the transforming of your mindset, your thought process. Because, see, once you get that intact, things will change. It's like no different. I tell pastors over and over again and people in the church, you will no longer have to tell someone who is serving God when and what to tithe, what to give. If you teach obedience, if you teach transformation and people become obedient in whatever religion you are, whatever works for you, people will then start to do what's right. But when you are appealing to my emotional state, then what am I gaining? What am I gaining? What transformation am I gaining? Because we should not do anything when we are emotionally out of touch, making decisions or what have you. So really think about the things that are being said. Just as I thought about this today, just as we have to change the way we eat in order to have a better and healthier lifestyle, we have to think about what we're putting in our mind, in what we're seeing with our eyes and hearing with our ears, because that becomes us. If we're not careful and do anything in moderation, but as his article says, how many more movies do we need that talk about or have men and women making bad choices, something having to be completely wrong? Why can't we get to a point where we just commit to trying to do the right thing, particularly when it comes to our families, the people that we say I do to, that the children that we have and raise are responsible for? Why can't we start looking at our families as us, one, flesh? But it goes back to how do you feel about you? Because you can't love me if you don't love you. And we're missing that as well, the low self-esteem. So this is why movies, and again, not knocking the movie, but the image that we are consistently, that is consistently put before us. When is the last time you say that you were able to go and see a really good, motivating, positive motivating movie? When's the last time one came out that you went to see? I'd like for somebody to tell me that as well. But
now, I would love to hear someone call in and be able to present a movie. You know, I actually, what was the Will Smith movie where he dealt with the one brother who ended up working on Wall Street and starting his own financial firm?
Pursuit of Happiness, was that the name
Pursuit
of it?
Pursuit of Happiness. Yeah. And it interests me because, you know, someone mentioned that movie as a positive movie, but what and I didn't comment on it, but I always thought of that movie because the first thing that they show is one of our sisters not being willing to stand through hard times with a man who was actually, for all intents and purposes, making a very valid effort to do better for them.
Right.
This is the imagery.
A good, hard-working man.
Right. She wasn't willing to stand by him because it did not produce and provide the way the world we live in said that he should be producing and providing. Now, again, we're talking about a man who was validly putting in effort to do that. And so we have to be careful with what we decide to say it's positive, and that goes into a trained behavior. And before I even, you know, before I say anything about the Tyler Perry movie, I want to first say that, you know, I ask everyone to remove their emotionalism, just as you spoke of. We can't deal with this subject from an emotional standpoint because, as you said, the emotion will cloud you. We have to look at it from a standpoint of science. What are these things doing to us? And that is what I will offer in the conversation. It's just the science of what these things do, because when we start to think that these images are normal, that's a problem. So we need to also deduce how we got to a point where we thought this type of imagery is now normal, because that was a process. And that's what we have to understand that.
And I think, too, you start to believe, because we see it so much, you start to believe, and that's the same thing I think you're saying in saying normal, that it's just the way of life. It's something that we have to go through, and it's part of life. So even when we come across, and I'm speaking from the woman's perspective, when we come across a good brother, you're almost setting yourself up thinking, you know, there are no good brothers, because you don't see good brothers being, well, number one, accepted, or you don't see them being portrayed most of the time, a good brother, a genuine good brother who is, and I'm not saying about the money, the cars, and all that, just someone who is genuinely head of the household, father, handling things. I don't care if he works at McDonald's. You'll continue to hear me say that. Not about that, but a good man of integrity, of substance, of all those things, who loves his wife, loves his family, loves the Lord, all those things. But if you have in your mindset, because what you've allowed to come in, just think about in your body, what you eat, the things that you allow in your mind. Not saying you can't ever go see a movie that has this type of stuff in it, but when it becomes the norm, when that is all that's before us, and we get so hyped up about going, I mean, we're there on opening night, millions are spent. When it becomes a part of life and you see something contrary to that, different from that, then the way, like he said earlier, we've been taught, we are being trained not to think, because your mind has all that stuff already in it, has already come up with a conclusion. Number one, there are no good men, there are no good women, there are no families that stay together, and all these things. So when it is before you, the likelihood of you being accepting of it, it doesn't seem normal. And sometimes I hear women say, you know, I don't know what's wrong with me. This is a good guy, and vice versa, because we don't. It's not normal to us. And anytime we're out of our comfort zone, we're uncomfortable. So in our mindsets, without us knowing, these things have become normal to us. So when you see the good brother, when you see the good sister, it doesn't register, because in your mind, there is no such thing. So I'm just going to settle. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I want to say that one of the things that happens, one of the learned behaviors is that when you do see a potential good mate, because most of us, with or without our knowledge and with or without our consent, suffer from huge self-esteem issues. And these things are present and prevalent without our knowledge. So a lot of times when we see these things, we do not feel like these things are attainable for us. So you'll see, you know, a wonderful sister who, you know, is on her grind. She's doing her thing. She's spiritual. She, you know, eats healthy. She puts the right things in her mind. She puts the right things in her body, and the right things come out. As a man, because most of us suffer from lack of self-esteem, those things are not attainable. So you produce a behavior based on that that's self-destructive. So you will, you know, ransack that relationship, not because she's not a good sister, not because you don't love her, but because you suffer from self-esteem, you suffer from a lack of self-love. So she's not attainable for you. So you will see a lot of times, and I'm sure we've all got this in our family, brothers or sisters who deal with a person, and you're like, why are you with them? What's going on in your mind? They don't have a job. They're not taking care of themselves. They're not taking care of themselves spiritually. They're not taking care of themselves with their food. And that person will stick by them and will not leave them side, their side. The person is, causing physical harm to them. But that is a learned pattern of behavior, once again, because you suffer from a lack of self-worth. You cannot envision yourself being worth any more than that present situation gives you. And we must deal with how do we change that mindset.
How do we change that mindset? I mean, how does one, if someone asks today, you know, I'm there, I know I'm there, how do I change it? How do I begin the process of changing that mindset? What would be your answer? And I know that's a huge answer, but what would be your short version of that, I guess?
Well, first thing I would tell them, my very first words would be, you just made the first step. Noble Ali stated that if I can just get my people to start thinking again, they could save themselves. And I'm sure I got the quote a little bit off, but that was primarily what he was trying to put out there and say. I need you to start thinking. If we can get our people to just start thinking and stop being reactive, now that you're thinking and now that you're asking questions, because remember that every time you ask a question, the motive is to get an answer. when you get that answer, it's new information for you. So now this begins the education process. Now you can re-educate yourself. Now you can start looking at things from a different viewpoint because you started asking questions. And that really is the key, to ask questions. When you go to church, don't just listen, ask questions. Walk up to your pastor or whatever the person who, you know, who holds the seat may call themselves, ask a question. You know, say, well, where was this at? Who was this? You know, ask those questions that generate abnormal answers that you don't readily identify with. And again, that's going to create some discomfort, but discomfort is good. After you ask the questions, then you have to act on the information. Books. We were told we could not read for 200 years. Again, we're talking about learned patterns. Any person who studies your DNA and chemistry and all these things will tell you that your DNA contains information. So when our ancestors were told they couldn't read for 200 years, that's part of the reason that we have a learned behavior, again, with or without our knowledge, that we don't read. Start reading. Start reading books written by people who look like you. Because those are the people who are going to be putting out information that deals with you. It is not the job of any other people to educate another people. No person, no people in their right mind is going to educate another nationality of people to rise above them. So if we're waiting for someone European to hand us a book that teaches us our history truthfully, not with non-bias, we will be here 200 years from now. We have people like Sheikh Anta Diop. We have Taj Tariq Bey. We have the Alibaba, Dr. Clark, Ivan Van Sertima, myriads of brothers who have put in the time for this re-education process. It is now time for us to go get their books. Go get They Came Before Columbus, which deals with the Aboriginal and indigenous people of this continent who were Africans, called Moors, Asiatics. Go get some of Dr. Clark's books. He has so many, I won't even take the time to name them. Go get Sheikh Anta Diop's book. I think if my memory serves me correct, it's called African Presence in Ancient Egypt. I think that title may be off, it may be way off, but you look up Sheikh Anta Diop, you will find that he has a list of books dealing with anthropology and archaeology. And he deals with where we were at, who are we. You have Dr. Jackson, Christianity Before Christ, where he deals with the fact that Christianity was developed in Ethiopia. This is something that we taught Europeans. Now, we have been resold a story and taught that it has nothing to do with us, taught that everything about us is evil. We taught that people who were dark imprisoned God's chosen people. So you have to go back and you have to restudy these things. When you're restudying these things, you're restudying yourself. We must also realize that 99% of world history is African history. There is no place on this planet, there is not one place on this planet that the European has been where he did not find that we were there first. Not one place. So we have to understand who we are, and then we have to use that to build our self-esteem. I cannot love you if when I look in the mirror, I don't even love myself. That's not possible.
Wow.
So when we're dealing with our brothers being willing to harm each other, it's because it's not, it has nothing to do with them being willing to harm each other. It's them being willing to harm themselves. That's lack of self-love. If you reteach that, if you reteach loving the person in the mirror, Michael Jackson said it best. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. Be the change that you want the world to be. Be that change. That's where we start. We start with a question, and then we start getting the answer. And then when we get that answer, we start moving towards researching that answer, picking up those books, reteaching self-esteem, reteaching self-love. Once you reteach that, naturally, when you love yourself, you love people who look like you. That in itself will take care of the unity problem. We don't have to keep shouting out the banner of, we need to be unified. We don't need to do that. We need to love ourselves. If I love me, automatically, if you look like me, I will love you. It's automatic. And then there's unity right there. Unity starts with you and I. You and I. That's unity. That's a common goal, a common thought, a common bond. That's all that means.
You know, there's a couple of things I thought about, and I wrote these things down when you said the first step is you started the first step by asking the question and then basically being proactive rather than reactive. And we had a show on that some time ago that we have become a people that we think something has to happen, kind of like what you're saying here about in the movie as well, in the movies. But we need to learn to be proactive. And that means you have to know, you have to have some identity awareness. You have to know who you are in order to be able to know what to be proactive to, what things to incorporate in your life, what things to just say, absolutely not, it's not part of my DNA, as you were talking about. And then as you talked about just the history and us as a race, think about this, people. Even with February being the Black History Month, there are so many things. I just remember when you would, if you tell a kid, you know, this was invented by this person, Black person, this person, they are so in awe. They look at you like, really? Seriously? Why do you think there is just one month, and the shortest month of the year, dedicated to Black History Month? I mean, about reading, we've all heard, if you want to hide it, keep it from us, put it in a book.
That's right.
But we'll spend millions to go see drama, but won't invest in a $10 self-help book. But we'll spend $8 to get in a movie, $15 on Coke and a box of popcorn, and for what? So this is what we want you to think about tonight. And keep an open mind. And if you really sit and think, turn off the cell phone, turn off the TV, if you really reflect, you will not have to think long and hard on what's going on and what we are allowing in our lives. All these distractions is just another way. Just something else we've bought into, and we continue to. Even with the cell phones, I mean, just as quick as one phone comes out, it's still working pretty well. There's another one, and there are millions of people lining up to get another one. But we won't spend $10 on a self-help book. So the lines are open. I'm going to check the chat line as well here.
Okay.
We welcome you guys are listening. I see you out there, but we want your questions. We want your comments. For those of you who have seen the movie, even if you disagree, you know, with the images that the negative image that the movie portrays, tell us what you thought about the movie. I remember seeing a posting on Facebook from a pastor that said, "I went to see this movie and I will never watch it again." I wasn't able to connect with him and ask why. I intended to do that before the show. But so some people, I've heard good things and I've heard some negative things. All make good points on both sides, and that's why we want you guys to come in tonight and share what you took from the show, from the movie, particularly personal, your personal take on it, and how what things you got from it, and do you think that we need to we should continue to promote such movies or to support such movies as these, or is it time for a change? Is it time for some positive movies? You know, and would you support it? Would you go see those movies where they're such positive, you're motivated in a positive manner? Would you? So the lines are open.
And that's an interesting, you know, question within itself, is that would people support those? I didn't lose you, did I?
No.
Okay. Because I have a client who provided me with great information regarding this so-called mindset or information that's been put out where it says that, oh, well, people don't support the positive messages. People don't go buy that. People want, you know, negativity, and that's what everyone buys. And he was a young brother who went to one of the local JUCOs or junior colleges, and he was in broadcasting and communication, where they dealt specifically with quote unquote black communications and black media. And he said, you know, they got a project, and his project was to deal with what happened to the positive images. And he said that his research showed him that what had happened in the late 80s, mid-80s, all the way up to around the early 90s, was that when you had groups such as Public Enemy, X-Clan, you had some of Spike Lee's movies, what the industry would do is that they would take the SKU number that I don't know how many digits it is, 7 or 8 digit number that you see on every package that you buy that they scan. That scan number tells the media outlets, the billboard charts, and you know all those places what you're buying. What they would do when you went to go see a movie, that SKU number, SKU number, would be for a European group. For instance, when you went to go buy an X-Clan album, CD, tape back in the day, that number that belongs to X-Clan's CD would actually be the number that shows that you bought an album or a CD from Metallica, AC/DC. So that screws the information towards them being able to say that people don't buy this music. And we didn't know that was going on. So now about 7 years ago, that BET had a forum, and the first thing that you heard come out of T.I.'s mouth was that y'all don't buy information that's positive. All y'all buy is negativity, and I got to feed my family. But that was because they changed the numbers. So they would say that X-Clan only sold 20,000 albums. We can't put that out because it doesn't make us money. But Two Live Crew sold 3 million. So because, again, we're not educated on what's going on in the process, we buy into something superficial or something that we have no right to even believe it because there's no evidence presented to us. We just believe it because it was said to us. The truth is they changed it.
Wow. Okay. All right, you guys, the lines are open. I'm going to go ahead and read your article that I read, and then we'll go from there, okay?
Okay.
It says, after watching the movie, I was quite disturbed and even a little disgusted. We are a broken and miseducated people. The images on TV only perpetuate this broken image. Basically, it says we no longer know how to live with each other. So as I watched this movie, I found those same images perpetuated. How many times do we need to see a movie about adultery or neglect? Why is it that we are continuing to support movies that show our women in a negative light? And for those of you who say that Brandy played a positive image, she didn't. She played a sister who got cheated on and got HIV. That's not a positive image. What's the point of continuing to show images of brothers neglecting their women's needs? Have we not seen these images enough? But let me explain how these negative images affect you mentally. What we must first observe is that the brain is designed to associate and group things together. Any well-studied psychologist will tell you this. So all images taken into the brain are grouped and associated together, meaning like means the same. So when things are put in front of you, they have an effect on you, whether you understand that or not. It's automatic. For example, if asked a question about the color red, most will mention stop signs, octagon, stop, anger, or blood. Again, this is just based off the color red. It works the same with all images. This is why all companies have a logo, because that logo is drilled into your brain so that you associate that company with whatever need you have at the present time. The image of us as a couple has been continually shown as broken and dysfunctional. Because we continually put these images in our head, we eventually act them out, especially if they are glamorized and made to seem normal. This is the science of imagery. This science is used on our community in lots of different ways to keep us dysfunctional. So the reason for my disgust is because we have to expect more from those who look like us and are expecting or asking for our support. In each of Tyler Perry's movies, it always takes someone to be broken in order for someone or thing to be fixed. This is repetitive. Why do we have to always be shown as broken? What is wrong with a movie that shows us as strong without being broken first? The mindset that people won't buy support or support positive messages is bogus. It is a known fact that all positive hip-hop music was supported by us. And then it goes on to tell a few of those. Finally, I would say that I am happy to see my brother successful. I'm glad to see him overcome life's obstacles, but that was done with our community's support. Now, I understand the politics of the entertainment industry, but there are many ways to skin a cat. Although I don't expect to get a reply from Tyler Perry, and that's all irrelevant. But that's the gist of the article that got my attention and wanted me led me to reach out to Mr. Curry for this topic tonight. So again, if you guys have seen the movie and you have a different or received a different perspective, tell us what and why, and then tell us how you feel about this particular discussion that we're having. Do you feel that the continuation of negative self-images, again, where we have to be broken in order to be fixed, does that in some way even tell our children that, hey, we expect you to make these bad decisions and then fix them? You know, why can't we teach our kids or help encourage our kids to, hey, you can get this right the first time. You can make some great choices. You can learn to love yourself, and that will eliminate a lot of the trash or negative things that you would otherwise possibly allow in your life. So this is the article, the letter that led me to contact Mr. Curry and ask about being a guest on the show, because, you know, the fact that the things that, again, are put in front of us, the things that we see, the things we allow in our minds and in our thought process, that on top of everything else that we've brought forward from childhood, the unresolved issues, the low self-esteem, the lack of self-love, all that stuff adds to that. So it's like if you put garbage on top of garbage, I mean, you get garbage. It's going to continue to build. So it's like we have all these negative things already in us for the most part, because the things that we don't deal with, and we as a people, we just seem to not deal with things like this. And I think that's why we are so openly accept the distractions in life. It becomes a medication to keep us from dealing with what's really going on inside, the hurt, the pain, the past, the lack of self-love, the lack of self-awareness. And then we have kids, and we start the cycle again. And if you think that this is not true, look around you. Look at what our kids, our young girls, our young males, look how they are interacting with one another. Look how they're living their lives. And then look at the adults. It's like he said, we are being taught not to think. When's the last time you just took a ride and just let your mind go or just sit quietly and meditate and think? It's like our minds never, even when we sleep sometimes, we never stop. And we have to address these things. Go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I wanted to touch on after you read the article is one common reply that seems to come from most people who agree with the movie. The most common reply I got or within the discussion was that we need these images because it shows us what's going on in our community, that these movies, this music, shows us what the problem is. And people went on as far as to say that they know that someone went to the theater and realized that if they cheated on their husband or their wife, that they could get HIV. Now, again, before I even continue, I always tell everyone over and over again to always remove their emotionalism because we have to be able to have these discussions. But please call in to the show and tell me if you know anyone who, after they watch Boys in the Hood, Colors, stopped being a gang member. Because I did grow up in what we call the hood. I did come through seeing a lot of gang members. Even had some experiences with that lifestyle myself. I know not one person who goes to a movie and says, I'm not going to smoke crack anymore because the movie told me it was bad. I've never met that person. If you are that person, please call in because I need to meet you so that I can stop saying I've never met that person. Most of us have family members who can give us these experiences, so the movie does not provide any information that we don't have access to on a daily basis. It's just not possible that this is the thought process with that is okay. That's not what a movie does. And what we've got to approach the situation from in order to get out of our emotional responses is, again, understanding how the mind works. First and foremost, your mind is an associating mechanism, okay? And that is why I put that in there, because like means same. It doesn't mean like means kinda, like means same. And this is across the board for all humans, man, spirit, man, whatever you want to put out there. Everyone's mind works the same on that. So when you see something like a stop sign, all things that are octagon, the color red, the way the letters are shaped, they are attributed to everything that fits within that scope. So that is why scientists will tell you that when you see the letter red, the color red, you'll think about anger, you'll think about stop, you'll think about the octagon, you'll think about all these things, you'll think about speed. That's why they'll tell you that people in red cars get the most tickets. This is the science of it, and I'm not dealing with opinion because I think we have to get past opinion. The science of this thing tells you this is what your mind does. So when we look at these images, and all these images are glamorized, think about the fact that you have Kim Kardashian in a movie telling our sister who, by all accounts, is a person who is trying to be favorable in her husband's eye and in what many would say is God's eye. So she has a European coming to her, telling her that, you know, she needs to basically dress like a whore to get ahead in life. Kim Kardashian's words is, this is what all my people who look like, because they're successful, this is what my group looks like. This is how you have to be in the business world. So now what is the message that your brain just took in? Because, again, this ain't about opinion. This is not about your emotions. This is science. What did your brain take in, and then what does it put out based on that?
So you were, some of the responses that you received was, again, saying that people were able to could possibly receive the message that, okay, if I cheat, I could get AIDS, or if I continue to cheat. Don't people really already know that? I mean, do we have to go to a, and I think that's what you were saying there, but we really don't have to go to a movie to realize if you, not only if you cheat, but if you just, today, wow, come on, really, the number of AIDS cases. So I see what you're saying. You don't have to go to a movie to get that, to know that. Particularly if you're married, why does it have to get to that point?
Exactly.
But that's
that's
a negative image that you're talking about, movie after movie after movie. That's how women and men are portrayed.
Exactly. And this is a common theme. This is what the issue is. This is a common theme for quote-unquote black, Asiatic portrayals. This is common. It's not like this is an aberration when we see it. It's not. This is the norm. So I'll sidestep for a second to deal with etymon, or what is called etymology, meaning the origin and the meaning of words, because that's another thing that complexes us or allows us to be led astray on a lot of things. And I'm just going to ask you a couple of meanings, not to put you on the spot, but to highlight some of the things that we're taught and then how we're not even taught to really use a dictionary. Is that okay?
That's okay. Put me on the spot.
What does the word grammar mean? And remind you, we send all of our kids to what? Grammar school, right?
Right.
What does the word grammar mean?
Gosh, I guess English, right? I mean, your proper English? I don't know. Tell me.
Okay. Now, for anyone who is online, Google was called an etymon, E-T-Y-O-M.
Say that again.
E-T-Y-M-O-N, etymon, E-T-Y-M-O-N, dictionary. That is the dictionary you need to be looking at to understand the origin of words. Because what you think a word means in most cases is not what it means. And now, the word grammar comes from the word glamour or glamois, and it means to cast a spell. Okay, again, the word grammar comes from the word glamour or glamois, which means to cast a spell. You send your kids to grammar school. What is it when you, what do they call your writing class? They don't call it writing class. They call it spelling, but you never think of the words that are used. But the place that you send them is a place where the word means to cast a spell. And this is the etymon of the word. The word meanings don't change. English is what's considered to be an equivocal language. An equivocal, if you Google the word equivocal, it means to have double meaning with the intention to deceive. English is considered an equivocal language, which means it's a language that is meant to to the seed. So the reason I bring that up is because when you don't know what's being said to you, and you're using these words, remember words create action in a lot of ways. And not to go too far into the Bible, but remember the John 1:1, I hope that I quote the scripture right, it says, first there was the Word. Now, remember, we're dealing with an equivocal language. It says, first there was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, or was God, depending on what Bible translation you read.
Yeah, you're
right. It tells you the Word was first. Well, what is the Word? What is that? What does it mean that the Word was God? What does it mean? See, we don't know the meaning because we deal on emotion. So when we see a movie and they're saying these things, when you don't know, the words do hurt. And we continue to tell our children the same lie over and over again. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. They do hurt you. They do more harm than the sticks and stones. Because words program you. Why do you think that when you watch TV, the shows you watch are called programs? The word pro, and we're all taught this, but as adults, and if you have a child that's between 8 to 12, they'll tell you that in English class you are taught how to find the root word in each word how to find those things. The word program, the root word is pro, which means to agree, to be for. So when you watch something, mentally you're telling yourself you agree with that imagery. You look at the word television. The root word is lie. Again, and that's hard for people to see. In etymology, you learn that vowels are interchangeable. So you'll see a lot of people spell it tell lie vision. So you're telling a lie to your vision. Now, that may sound crazy to a lot of people, but this is the how you have to look at words. The word believe, the root word in there is lie. So to believe means to accept the lie. This is what it means. This is not my opinion. This is based on etymology and English. So it tells you in English class, they will tell you that the root of the word gives the source of the meaning. And that everything around it serves a purpose, but the root is the word. Believe, the root of it is lie. So we have to understand these things, that all these things are used against us within our community. We don't know them because most of us have never heard of an etymology dictionary. I'd never heard of it for years. You understand that? I was like, what are you talking about? I can't even pronounce that. But it's a very true dictionary. Wesley's dictionary is the worst dictionary we can have in our home. Let's just be clear about that part. Webster's dictionary, get it out, throw it out. It's garbage. That dictionary, if you were teaching your kids out of Webster's dictionary, that's garbage. It would be better for you to go to a thrift store and just find an old dictionary that says unabridged on it. Unabridged is the key, unabridged. The older the dictionary, the better. Because when you look at the older dictionaries, prior, especially to 1960, because Merriam-Webster, I think it was around the 60s, 50s, 60s, Merriam-Webster bought out all the dictionary companies, and that's when the U.S. government started to change the meaning of words. So when you see an old dictionary, you'll see that it has a different meaning than what we now call the modern dictionary. See, this is important. If you're trying to make your child have a better future, then you must teach them something that you didn't know in a way that you never were taught it. Go get you an Oxford dictionary. This is the dictionary that you need. This is the dictionary that a scholar uses. It's the Oxford Unabridged Dictionary. We have to have these things in our home so that our kids can have a better future.
And give the name of the dictionary once. I just want to make sure I wrote it down correctly.
Okay. Oxford. The Oxford Unabridged Dictionary.
Unabridged, okay. You know, the word, when you talk about the word, I know since I have started to look up additional words that mean, you know, just finding out, looking deeper into the words, I realized that a lot of the words that I use and just, I understand them mentally, but when you really get down to the deep part of understanding and being able to tell someone, yeah, this is what this means, I found out that the more I dug deep into that, gosh, there's just so many more words that you need to really be able to identify and be able to explain what they are. So, but we do have a caller before we get too deep into that, so I'm going to bring this caller in. And again, we're going to pull you in by providing the area code, and that's 901. The last four digits is 5302. Caller, you're on the air with us.
Hello, Tammy. How you doing?
I'm good.
Great. I've kind of dodged the last couple of your invites, and when I saw this one, I said I'm calling in because I just placed a post like this maybe about 3 weeks ago. You know, when they were doing all the promo and hyping up to the movie. By the way, my name is Marvin. They were doing all the hype
for
the movie.
I was trying to catch your voice. How are you?
How you doing?
Good.
And I told a friend of mine that I'm not going to see the movie, not because I don't like Tyler Perry. I respect his, you know, him as an artist and all that. But I knew that this particular movie was going to be predictable. Because of I saw the promo and I saw the characters, and I pretty much put two and two together, and I know based on his other works, you know, I kind of felt like it was going to be, I was going to wait on the reviews rather, to see if they were going to match mine. So I had a couple of that kind of matched it, and the big argument is that with me and this person that when I placed my post on Facebook, was that they said, well, you're not supporting. Well, no, Tyler employs, you know, artists and people that we normally wouldn't see in the industry. And I understood that point, but my thing was, like you're saying, based on the negative images, I mean, it was pretty much, you know, you got this guy, you got this girl, they, you know the title Temptation, you put two and two together, and you pretty much know where it's going to go. And it was just a big blowback about how we're putting down Tyler Perry, and my point was, well, Tyler Perry is not, you know, he's not hurting for money as far as his production goes, but, you know, as far as what they're expecting from Tyler Perry, you know, it's what type of movie it's going to be. And it was just a big mess of, as far as, you know, the black thing and all that. But you're absolutely right about the images and the things that we put in people's heads, and like you said, they act them out.
Mm-hmm. And Marvin, just to say, I mean, this is a brother who really keeps it real, you guys. I have shared with a number of people, you know, from time to time, some of the things that I see and the response and comments that you get. I remember the latest one that has stuck to my mind about you trying to just inform, and I don't know this person, but just inform this lady, hey, be careful about the pictures you put up for your kids and things
exactly.
Like that. It's just amazing the responses that you get to see. But this is a brother who keeps it real about church, and then the last posting I saw about, you know, does it bother anybody else that women show up at the church like they're going basically to the club?
All right.
I mean, so I read your postings, and I really look forward to just seeing the comments and the feedback that you get, because it's great stuff. And a lot of people, as we're saying tonight, they don't want to hear the truth. They just don't want to entertain anything that will promote change, that will promote them to have to deal with what's really going on. And so things like this is just another way of covering it up, so to speak. So
yeah,
finally called in. And anything, any questions for our guest, Mr. Curry?
Well, no, I've heard him for the you know, the last thing, the last 5 minutes, and my main thing was just I totally agree with you on. I was reading the highlight from the article, and that was my whole point on the post that I placed on Facebook, is that we're putting the thoughts, like, you know the shows like the Bad Girls Club and all this kind of stuff. It's like he was saying, which is absolutely right. You're programming your brain. Once you program your brain to be used to a specific thing, like based on like what you said, the change thing, that means that they have to actually start thinking for themselves and said, hey, well, I'm not going to see that because we are already perpetuating things that are negative as far as us as a people, like you were saying in the article, where how it, we just harp on the negative side of relationships, you know, the hurt, the anger, the guy who's the abuser, and the woman who's bitter, and you know, you go back and forth. Now, Tyler has some he has some good movies. I think I'll give him one maybe with Good Deeds. I think what he tried to do with that movie is he tried to show a different side of a strong black guy who can, you know, be in a positive relationship. I didn't necessarily see the movie, but I've heard of it. I'm not saying I'm not a big Tyler Perry fan. I just this is me speaking only. I just consider his movies maybe, I'm not saying anti-man or anti-positive black man, but there's not enough substance for me to want to, you know, watch the movies because I know where they're going to go with him, where he's going to go with him in the, you know, the plots anyway in the movie.
Well, let me ask you this, Marvin, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Because I'm listening to your voice, and it sounds like you're closer to my age. Are you over 35?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So
I just had a birthday.
Okay. Well, happy belated.
All right.
Perfect.
All right.
Do you remember in the 80s where the brothers and sisters were wearing the dashikis, the small fezzes, the African emblems and so on and so forth? Do you remember that time period? I don't know where you're from.
Yes,
okay.
I do. I'm from Memphis, Tennessee. Yes, I do, because that
okay.
actually carried over until the early 90s.
Okay.
Yeah, I remember that.
Do you remember what brought that on?
I said it again.
Do you remember what brought on that change within the community? Because we weren't doing that first. Do you remember what it was that brought on that change? You may or you may not. It's not negative or positive. I'm just wondering.
Well, I can't necessarily place a remember what brought on, but I'm just take a stab at it. I'm just because I know now the Roots movie came out. They came out in the 70s, right?
Right.
Yeah, I don't think that was it on Malcolm X.
No, if you go back and this, you know, a whole thesis could be done on this subject matter. But if you go back and you study hip hop music back in the early 80s to the late 90s. And if you study culture and society within the community prior to videos and the imagery of hip-hop coming out,
yeah,
you won't find the images with us wearing dashikis and African emblems and so on and so forth. But to show you the power, because we have this, again, we have a misconception that movies show reality. Our programmers do not have these television shows to show reality. They put out these images to produce a future.
Okay.
So, and so when you look at hip hop when it came out, the most popular people when we were younger were who? Public Enemy.
Public Enemy.
You had Big Daddy Kane, who's an Asiatic. Remember?
Yep. You had Arrested Development. Well, they came out in the 90s, but you had them.
But they were early.
Yeah.
And you had who was X-Clan.
Yep.
This was the imagery. And prior to this imagery, there was no dashikis and African diadems. Remember that everyone coming out of New York was basically Muslim. Now, whether you agreed with Islam or not was irrelevant. Because you still, even if you profess Christianity over Islam, dress Asiatic based on the music you listen to.
Okay.
And now you fast forward to the early 90s when it started to change. You have the introduction of MC Hammer. You have the introduction of NWA. The imagery changes. If you remember when we grew up, we had, for every negative, you had a positive. We may have had, let's see, who would have been a woman? Well, you had two live crews, but you had Big Daddy Kane and Eric B. and Rakim.
Yeah, you had two live crews, that's correct.
Yeah, you know, we had that. So I don't, that's why I tell people, you know, the problem is not just that we have Lil Wayne, it's the other problem is that Khalid Kweli isn't popular.
That's right.
And so we, you normally and naturally will go towards a higher vibration. And now, and the higher vibration, the highest vibration in the universe is love. The lowest vibration is hate. And that's a whole other topic I won't really get into too much. But when we study the human body and our spiritual side, we operate on vibration. And the highest vibration is love. The lowest is hate. You will automatically go towards love if it's presented to you over the course of time, which is why we went back towards Africa. Now, when they introduced the hate and they turned down the faucet on the love, of course you're going to go to the love because that's what's being, I mean the hate because that's what's being offered to you. But this is the power of imagery. So you were so right when you said that when you put this in your brain, this is what happened. It was not glamorous. It was not glamorous 10 years ago to be a stripper. It wasn't glamorous.
Not
today,
at all.
Today, based on music, women think it's great to take a pole dancing class. I mean, we got to think about that. It's great to take a pole dancing class now because it's okay to be a stripper and put in that imagery. If I were to pose someone in high school or someone in my family and we talked about pole dancing, my sisters or aunties, they were looking at me like I was crazy.
Yeah, you probably got a woman.
Yeah, for real. I got smashed or something.
Yeah, they would take you outside and handle you.
Yeah. Now you can have the conversation. Why? Because imagery introduced it to you and made it popular and made it glamorous. Or they cast a spell. This is what happened. And again,
yeah, and you know that. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
You know that, like you just saying that the imagery makes it popular. It's almost like keeping it with the topic. It's almost like if you don't watch, I get asked all the time. Well, why don't you like reality shows? I said, well, I don't because you're really looking at someone else's drama, and it's really. A lot of that is made up. A lot of that is for TV and for ratings.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing, like you were saying earlier, is a lot of the generational stuff now is the parents have stopped teaching or they don't know what it is they should have taught their children, especially the young men. Once we got out of school back in the 80s, you know, after that time, like heading into the 90s, I don't think unless the parent had a, you know, that was in tune with, you know, themselves or with our history, you don't get a lot of programming of pro-positive images of black. And like you said, with the pole dancing, and it's almost popular, like you're saying, for a girl to, like you said, strip or whatever. And like you said back then, if you would say that it was like you got put in a closet, but now it's almost like, oh, you've never stripped or you don't have this or you don't do that. It's almost like as if you're the odd man out now because
right.
It's so accepting. And with the negative images, it's nothing but being upfront, being out, you know, just being out there and seeing who can be the most, I don't know, for lack of a better word, radical, pro person to, you know, put themselves out there. Like in the movie, I think, who was that? What's her name, that the Kardashian girl?
Kim Kardashian.
I read a review that said that she had the most clever line in the movie, and I'm saying, well, if that's the case, and I haven't even seen the movie, I can pretty much, you know, sum it up with, if that's the best that it got, because I don't even have to see the movie. Well, I'm, you know, I'll be fair to Tyler Perry. If I saw the movie, I'd pretty much probably still where I'm at. You know, but based on the previews and all that stuff, man, I'm pretty sure it was I was probably dead on. But basically, what you're saying is pretty much programmed, and the more negative images you put on the television, it's commonplace, and a lot of this stuff has become rooted into the psyche, and is pretty much, if you don't have a positive to combat that negative, and if you got a parent who is close in age to their daughter, or an absent father, or a father who's just not dealing with whatever it is, it's not necessarily a girl thing, I'm just saying, but, you know, you got the guy thing, too, who have the, what's his name, what's the singer's name, the Trey Songz, you know. I was talking to a family member, a young niece, about the Trey Songz music, and I was saying, well, compare this song to maybe this song of our generation, and I asked the niece to tell me what the difference was, and she couldn't tell me, so I explained it to her. I said, listen to the lyrics and see how open and out what he's saying compared to what this song is saying, and you would never know he was talking about the same thing, because now it's just so commonplace to be negative that they don't care.
Marvin, you have a niece in Memphis?
I have several nieces in Memphis.
What? I'm sitting here listening to you talk about your niece. I bet they catch pure hell. I'm going to say that.
Well, they did, and and the only reason I wasn't trying to be difficult, but it's all about if I can say, hey, this is the roadmap. Follow this, or I'm going to be somewhere around lurking, and it's not going to be good. I was, you know, I didn't try to be the big bad uncle. I just turned out that way. But they still love me. But I'm pretty sure if they ask you now, I mean, if they were to be honest with themselves now, they would probably say they're probably terrified around about the ages of maybe 16, 17. Yeah, because I'm a little bit older than, I think I got you guys about maybe at least six years. I turned 47 on April 7th. So I'm pretty sure I got you guys by a couple of years. But that's still that experience as far as what we're talking about now. It's just I've seen a lot. And, you know, based on how movies have changed and how they progress into the just the flat-out in-your-face drama and all that stuff, that's why you're getting this crop of shows on TV that are dealing with nothing but drama, because sex sells, drama sells, and if it's nothing in that show other than someone half naked or cussing, then you got a pretty decent show. If you just got some people decent enough to look at, that's pretty much it. This is kind of like what the Temptation movie is. It's pretty much you put some eye candy in there, you got a couple lines in there, and you throw in money, and you got this guy who's rich, and I mean, 9 times out of 10, most women can identify with that, because Tyler knows that some woman at some level has maybe fantasized about that, so I'm thinking he's going for sales. I mean, you know, you got to sell, you know, you got to get the money out there from the people based on what you got in the movie, because if you go to a movie and it's just something about us, and it's historical, no one's going to go see it. You may get a couple of people who want to see the story of 42, but I don't think it's going to do as big as, and I really don't know how big Temptation did, but I'm pretty sure it's not going to be as impactful or something. Someone 20-something is going to sit around and say, hey, I want to go see 42. But Temptation, oh, yeah, they'll go see that.
And Marvin, I said, as far as nieces, I say that in just the most positive aspect because I see the things that you post, and I can only imagine how you must be as a uncle.
Well, it's all for their good. I try to be
good.
Nice. But, you know, a lot of people, they take it the wrong way. Like when I put the post up there about the movie, it was not anything negative toward Tyler. I said Tyler is going to make money. If he does another My Dear movie, it's still going to be good. I mean, some people are going to go out there and they're going to see it just because of that one character. My thing was is that I just couldn't see spending my money on a movie that I pretty much almost have in mind what the outcome is going to be. You know, it may be a twist or something in there that may surprise you, but for the most part, you got a good-looking black guy. You got a good-looking sister in there. I mean, you got half the movie on lock on both sides. Women and men are going to come see it just for that. You throw in Kim Kardashian. That's another piece of eye candy. And you pretty much don't have to have a real deep, you know, plot to it. Just move the movie along until you get to the basis of the movie, and that's pretty much it. But no dig on Tyler. He's still a good filmmaker, but I'm looking for something maybe just a little more gritty as far as a brother's concerned, or even just a family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, let me go back and touch on him, because, again, this is something I try to remove for us, because we do have this thought process that says we won't buy positive. In the 80s, highest rated show in the 80s was The Cosby Show.
Yep.
One of the other high rated shows was A Different World. One of the shows that we've always admired in our community was Good Time. These things, it is not true in any way, shape, or form that we don't support positivity. The highest vibration in the world is love. We supported shows to show us loving each other. What we have to do is stop thinking these things are by accident. This is the problem with our position, or I should say one of them. We think that this is by accident. Like, we don't see this as a purposeful thing. I was just having a conversation at my place of business today, and I told the one, you know, young brother that, I cannot educate you to rise up against me. I cannot ever let you know your greatness if you are a threat to me. If I told you, if I'm a European, and I told you that you taught me everything I know, what does that do for the people I'm trying to oppress? What does that do to them? That gives them self-confidence. That gives them self-awareness. You will no longer hear a child complain about algebra, which is actually easy based on our ancestral achievements. We taught this world every single thing it knows. Astronomy, astrology, that's ours. Mathematics, that's ours. We invented the wheel. We invented writing. We made pyramids that there is not one person walking this earth since us who have ever been able to recreate. We talked about the dwarf star Sirius before Europeans ever knew it existed. That's the Dogon tribe out of Africa. They have made us afraid of our greatness, which is why we shun Africa.
I agree.
They have taught us that everything about us is negative. Again, I go back to the fact that you're taught that people who look like you enslaved God's chosen people, who now you believe are Jews, who never existed in the Bible. The Jews, the Semites, were Asiatic. But you're not taught that the people in the Bible look just like you. So when you see a show like Bible, no one on there looks like you.
That's right.
So you are afraid of yourself. You shun everything that came from you. You are told that your people worship God when there is not a shred of evidence that supports that. You're taught that the Egyptians that the Dogon, that all these different people in Africa worship all these false gods. Well, they're false according to who? According to the guy who stripped me or raped my mother or molested my brother? The gods are false according to that person. So what we have to do is understand that all these things are on purpose, and they're not by accident. And once we understand that, then we can look at it and say, well, this is why they don't show a brother and a sister on good times anymore, because he never left her. He never left him.
That's right.
And that is the greatest show of unity, I think, probably that any show has ever produced, because that show spanned, you know, a lot of years in their life. He went away. You never ever heard her saying that he was unfaithful. You never heard her make a phone call like, who you with? You never heard that. So these images are changed because the most powerful dimension in the universe is two Asiatics loving each other. Creation came from us. So how can we be less than anybody? You cannot produce anything that's greater than yourself. And I ask every man, every single man that believes in this truth, this woman must walk two steps behind me or you must do what I say, I ask everyone to, every man to look at the universal birthmark, your umbilical cord. Everybody got one. And if it is a scientific fact that nothing that you come from, you can't get anything new. Everything you have came from somewhere. So that means in itself that man cannot be greater than woman. She doesn't need to walk two steps behind you. There's nothing in our African ancestry, we're talking about ancient, we're not talking about modern, that says that women were not equal. If you really do our research, our ancestors believed and understood that the highest form of creation was woman, because she invested the principle of creation from the creator. She is the only thing that can create. Man is fertilizer. These are facts. It's not my opinion. I don't feel this way. This is what it is.
That's
so
true.
We have to understand that I can't show you that image. I can't keep showing you that image. I have to show you the image of my sisters getting permed and tell them that your natural hair isn't okay. I have to make you think that kinky hair is bad.
Hey, you're still at my point, man. Hey, that's the point. I was just getting ready. I was waiting. I got a question to ask you. And
okay.
I was going to post this. I just hadn't done it yet. I don't know.
I'm getting ready to disconnect y'all.
Okay. I don't know if you've seen I had a discussion with someone about the commercials. If you notice that some of these commercials that I was looking at, I'm just going to throw out two real quick. Is one was an Allstate commercial. You know, you got the light skin.
Oh, I've seen it. I've seen
mother,
it.
Yeah, and you got the dark brother, and you got the little mixed hair girl with the frizz. You know, they don't really kink it, but it's kind of got the frizz look. And then you got the little boy who's biracial. And I'm sitting there going, like, how is that possible? With you got this semi-dark brother and this light-skinned woman, and you got this over here. And it's a image that they want you to see. They want it to be black, but they don't want it to be too black. And I've noticed that in a lot of commercials that you see, they always have the puffy fro young guy that has that, you know, that Boondocks look, or the girl that has the same hair, but it's never really kinky. And then someone made a comment on one of my posts about good hair. And I said, well, so what are you saying? Are you saying that your natural kinky hair, which is where that comes from Africa, and the actual hair that we, if we were still in slavery, thank God we're not, but if we were there, you would not have a perm. You would not have the, what's those relaxers, you know, all that stuff that they put in your hair to make it straight. And so one of my family members had actual, you know, the what she calls the natural look. And somebody made a comment about, when are you going to do your hair? And she said, my hair is done. And that goes to the whole topic of what you're talking about with the Tyler Perry images and all the images and what you just said about our hair, natural and kinky, is not good or as good as someone who has a permed hair.
Yeah. I mean, and this is what plays is, but at the same time, they're telling us that. And I always liken everything to what they teach us. And then what they teach us, but they leave out the truth about it. Even if you deal with, whether you're dealing with the Quran or you're dealing with the Bible, you'll find the story of Samson. And in that story of Samson, when you really get into the etymology and you get into linguistics, linguistics is understanding how words transfer from one language to another by keeping the same meaning. That's linguistics.
Okay.
When you get into the story of Samson, they tell you in the Bible that the hair was the source of his power. Now, they changed the word to give a false cognition of meaning. What the hair is, your hair, when they say natural, the root word of natural is nature. Your hair in its natural state is close to nature. Our hair has the same spiral as the universe. Your hair is your extension, your connection. It's almost like your tentacles towards the universe. So in the story of Samson, when he cut his hair, he cut off his spiritual power and his connection to the Creator because he went unnatural. Natural nature was growth. When he let it grow out a little bit, by the time he went back to the pillars, he has gained his spiritual power again. But they're not going to tell you that, because the same people who give you the book are not going to tell you really how you're supposed to look at the book. They're going to tell you all these different things, like the story meant, you know, he didn't do what God said. But they're not going to tell you all the metaphysical meaning of what the different ethers, what's called ethers of hair, and how the kinkier of the hair, the better. Now, this is a science that the European knows. You know, we're dealing with the people who tell us that Islam is bad, Christianity is good, while at the same time, and I have this in my home, if you go to a European Masonic meeting, you'll see Europeans walk around in fezes. These fezes will say Islam and have pictures of Egyptians on them. I have one that I got from a Mason's wife after he made his transition or died. It has a picture, it has a metal plate carved into the image of our ancestors, the Egyptians, and it says Islam and diadems on it. But Islam is bad, Christianity is good, and this is where we're supposed to stay. We're not supposed to search. And I tell everybody, you have the right to claim all these forms of religion because they all came from you. Every single religion out there is a fragment of the ancient African teaching, which you have to get out of the mindset that was given to us in slavery, meaning all these different teachings that teach you that you're evil. You have to get away from that. You have to go back to an African-centered mentality and take those same scriptures, those same understandings, and place yourself back into an African mind state, and then use them to, you know, progress your life forward. Islam came from us. Islam just means I, self, law, and master. It was the first form of liberty, because it was an individual spirituality that was taught in ancient Africa. Then the Muslim comes, 1,500, 1,700 years ago or so, steals it, and then calls it being a Muslim. Christianity started in Africa with the Coptics of Ethiopia. I'm not going to go into the differences because it's a whole other show, the differences in their spirit.
Yeah, we've already taken over the show.
But it came from us.
Hey, Andre.
Go ahead,
I'm sorry. Go ahead,
I know
Sammy.
You've been on with us a while. We have another caller as well, and
okay,
we're down to about 20 minutes. So, Marvin, I want to allow you to get whatever in you want to get in. And I thank you. You brought such depth to the show tonight. And just thank you. your question, your comment, and I just encourage you to keep sending your positive messages out because, you know, women, not all women are offended by your posting, and keep stay on your nieces because we need more uncles and dads like you. So stay on them. Don't let them get away.
I'm not. Thank you very much, Tammy. I'm gonna hopefully in future shows, maybe we can talk about what he's kind of like talking about why we don't have that kind of teaching at the high school level as far as our ancestry and our history, and that would be a good topic.
I agree, and I'll connect you and Curry together for I'll suggest friends because you guys have to have a lot of conversation.
Yes, we do.
Appreciate
we love taking over your show.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, I've already pulled in our caller from 901 with the last four digits of 8714, and you're already on the air with us.
Hey, Miss Tammy. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm all right for now. Miss Tammy, what you have done tonight by bringing this man on this show, you have opened up a can full of good things that really... We will have to have more shows to talk about some of these things specifically. Because what this brother has been talking about tonight and what he's been studying, I've been studying the same things about the history of black people worldwide, especially the etymology. And like I told you, Ms. Tammy, and some other folks about studying the semantics behind symbols and words that we use on an everyday basis. And the last caller that just called in, he had some great points, but there was one thing that I disagreed with respectfully when he said that, thank God we're not in slavery anymore. I disagree with that, and I mean that in a way that mentally a lot of us are enslaved by other people's opinions because what's continually being brought out about is how we've been programmed to think a certain way ever since we've come into this world or came through the door, through the mother. And we think that we have our own opinions, but I keep telling people, especially black folks, how do we know that what we think is really our own opinion and it wasn't something that someone else had gave us in a programming process to make us think that it's our own opinion, but it's really to carry out someone else's agenda, which their agenda is nothing good for us. So I'm really urging people who are listening right now to really take heed to what has been said so far, and to really read upon these things yourself, and to really unlock your mind and to really expand your mind on what we have done in the past and where we are now and what we can do as we continually to deprogram our minds from what we've been taught for so long. And I mean, it's very vital that I believe that we study etymology because, like, those words that he brought out, that is so true, especially when all of us pay – well, not even going to say all of us, but a number of us, we pay for a mortgage, which etymology just means a dead pledge. It has something to do with death. And when we say, and another word to throw out there, it's like we all like to say, well, you're nice or I'm nice. But really, that came from like an old French term. And really, the etymology of that word really means lazy, stupid, ignorant. You're a fool. So, I mean, that's what the word nice really means, but we keep thinking always something pleasant and well. And like, even the word sad, all that means is it goes back to the word satiety or satiate means you're satisfied, you're full of, you're pleasant. That's all it means. It doesn't mean that you're gloomy and all of these type of things. So, I mean, we are being enslaved by the words that we use on a daily basis that someone else has given us, and it seems as if that this English language is really it's really a trickery language that we have all learned, but we really don't know how to talk, meaning that we don't really know what we're saying, and we don't really know what we're reading on a daily basis. So that's why I say it's very important that we study etymology. I'm a graphic designer, and this real quick point that I want to make when it comes to colors is that we see these colors on a daily basis, like we was like you all was talking about the color red. Well, the color red, blue, and yellow, those are primary colors. And really those colors means like urgency, speed, aggression, cautiousness. And if you look at superheroes and you just look at the colors that they wear, like Superman, he wears all three primary colors, red, blue, and yellow or gold. And like even the Flash, he's wearing all red and yellow or gold. And the point that I'm making is that with the semantics of colors and the semantics that's being played upon us, if you ever notice when people say, and especially people who are Christians, they'll say, read this quote, but people talk about, you have stepped out of darkness and you come into the marvelous light. Well, that gives an impression on people that darkness or black is a terrible thing, and that like white or light is just something glorious and this is good. And subconsciously, we may look at things that are black as evil and dark and not good of. And then when it comes to human beings, the darker you are, or the more ignorant you are, the more inferior you are. So I know I said a lot because this is an interesting show. But we really have to deprogram how we think. I mean, we really have to use critical thinking on everything that we think we know, that we probably really do not know much on. And I know for me, there's a lot of things that I've been taught, and I'm still in the process of deprogramming and like really asking why. Because we're taught to ask who, what, when, and where, but then we leave out the how and the why. And we have to include the how and the why in everything that we think we know or that we already know. So, we could have more series on what we're talking about here, because it's very important to get out of this mind, out of this slavery mindset of what we've been taught, and especially when it comes to religion as well. So.
Gosh, you said so much, and I've written so much down, but I'm going to let our guest speaker go first, because I could always connect with you later. But you said, you touched a good number of things, so I'm going to let you have it. You take that one.
Well, first of all, I want to say much to the brothers, appreciate it, because we need more brothers who standing up and saying that I'm going to unprogram and then re-educate myself. Because if we don't, we can't depend on anyone else to do it. I mean, like they said, what is the movie with Wesley Snipes? With the CMB, we all we got. So I must be able to depend on my brothers for help. And so I applaud him for that, because we all have to go through that transition. I'm still going through mine. I'm still learning. We all are. But like he said, again, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. That's not just a scripture. That's a reality. That's not just a scripture. That is a reality. And until we understand that, we will not ever wake up. We were beat into unconsciousness, literally and figuratively. We were beat into unconsciousness. We have not woke up yet. And the first thing we have to do is ask a question. And the brother is completely right. What I was hoping he was going to say, and I know he knows it, is the word bad. When you tell your son he's bad, when Michael Jackson kept saying, "I'm bad," the word bad in its etymology means effeminate. So we say things, and again, we're dealing with an equivocal language. We're dealing with grammar, which means to cast a spell. And this is what words do. So when you say it, it is so. It is so when you say it. Which was what the book, we all remember that book that came out, The Secret. But that book, that's what it deal with, making your words were a reality, changing what you say to change your reality, because the word is God. Again, that's not just a scripture. That's a reality. And we've got to re-educate our children with that. I have my daughter look over it. I have Etymon books to teach her how to break down words. Even the word black, which is something we have to deal with, because we have a lot of brothers and sisters running around, you know, black power, black power. I'm black and I'm proud. What does the word black mean? If you look up the Etymon, it comes from the word block, or block, which means pale, which means to whiten or to bleach. Now, I'm not even getting into politics yet, but just in that word, it means to whiten, it means to make pale or to bleach. When I look in the mirror, I can't be black. So then I must say, who is black? The word Negro means black. So who was the first Negro? Well, if you just said it means to whiten or to bleach, then I'm dealing with the Caucasian. So when we deal with words, we learn secrets that are not being, that are secret means sacred. So this is sacred information that you can't know. When you call yourself black, you take yourself out of history, because black has no history. This is why when your teacher tells you that, oh, well, your people just came about a few years ago, you have no history. Your teacher's telling you the truth because you keep calling yourself black. You have to go back into history and learn who you are. You were called a Moor. You were called Asiatic. You know, all these different things, you know, that we need to relearn about ourselves to take our power back, because someone else has our power. And as the brother was talking about, as he so profoundly stated, someone else has programmed us, has our power. We have to take it back, and the first step is to re-educate ourselves with the word.
We're going to have a show on words, sounds like. But before we come to an end, and we've gone the entire 2 hours, I'm just so in awe about the show. And if nothing else, I mean, I see a connection between three brothers that will start. I mean, Marvin and I have already went back and forth on Facebook as I was listening and talking with him. So I already see that something will form, and I'm all for brothers connecting for the good, for change and for better. So if nothing comes out of this show, you know, that in itself is enough for me tonight. For those of you who are tuning in and tuned in, you know, in no way, Tyler is a talented brother. He could not be so talented and do what he's doing. So if nothing else, hey, maybe this will get around enough, and he will, because if he decides to produce a more positive movie, people will follow. People will mm-hmm. will go because of who he is now and what he's done thus far. So
that's
if nothing else, if this gets around, because Good Deeds, I think it was Good Deeds or whatever the name of that one was, it was a pretty good one. I really did like that one, and I became a fan of Tyler when I was able to see him speak at one of his plays. I got invited and went, and that was the first time I'd ever seen a play, and that was probably about a year ago. And to hear him talk on a different level, I saw him in an entire different light, and he is a talented, gifted brother. So I wanted to – a couple of things you guys have said. You mentioned the Good Times show, and I just want to briefly, because we still have about 6 minutes to go, I remember hearing that Florida, the mom and wife on the show – initially, they wanted James portrayed as the father. He was not going to have a job. He was not going to be a worker. And she said no. She said, I would not do the show unless James is a working husband and father. And I thought, wow, how awesome was that? Even in that time, she just said no, I won't do it. And in regards to the hair, you guys were talking. I think Marvin and you were talking about, you know, hair. I remember as a young girl being told that your hair is your glory. I mean, my grandparents would say that forever. I never quite understood that, but I know we weren't allowed to shave and cut our hair and things like that. And they said, because your hair is your glory. And so I thought it was interesting that you guys set up in that sense. So many things came out of this show, and I see part two coming. It has been just wonderful, wonderful. Some of you stayed on with us out there. I see you still out there. Thank you. The chat, you guys were quiet tonight, but you're out there. I see you. So thank you for tuning in. And any final words from you? Andre, I see your final words.
You know what, if I can just rename those books and maybe just rattle off a couple of book titles as suggestion, I think that would probably be a way for me to end it just in case people need to know a selection to start from.
Okay.
You have George G.M. James. George G.M. James.
Okay.
He produced a book called Stolen Legacy. I'm not going to go into what all these books are about, but you can Google them all.
Okay.
Stolen Legacy. You have The Alchemist. I can never pronounce this name, Coelho. The Alchemist by Coelho. If you can afford it, and I use those words politely, get you an Oxford unabridged dictionary. If you can afford it, get you an Oxford unabridged dictionary. Let me be the first to say I don't have one. Those books are priced out of our range a lot of times because they store the knowledge. They're over $1,200 for an Oxford unabridged dictionary. You'll
Did
find
you
them up to
$100.
Yeah, $1,200 because they come in volume sets. See, we have simple dictionaries. A real dictionary is in volumes. So if you can afford it, get you an Oxford unabridged dictionary. Also get you what's called the Black, spelled B-L-A-C-K-S, Law Dictionary. That is the dictionary that they use when you're dealing with law and politics. You go into a courtroom, you say something thinking it means one thing, their dictionary says something totally different. Okay, get you The Miseducation of the Negro. I forgot the brother's name who produced The Miseducation of the Negro.
Carter G. Woodson?
Yes, that's him, Brother Woodson. And I'll give two websites that I think are pivotal. R is in Robert, V is in Victor, Bay, B is in Boy, E is in Edward, Y is in you, or yogurt. Publications, rvbaypublications.com.
Okay.
And the last thing I will give is a website called Sacred Text. It's probably better to Google that because every time I try to put it in myself in the browser, it doesn't come up. But if you Google Sacred, S-A-C-R-E-D, text, T-E-X-T, you'll see the website that says Sacred Text. That website is probably one of the most powerful things you'll ever see. It has books written in the 15, 16, 17, and 1800s. They have over 1,000 books, all original, and the full book is available online. All you have to do is click on it, and you can read the whole book from start to finish without them having altered. You will find books on everything, every part of the world, and it will go back into every part of the world's history. It will go back into the history of Christianity, the history of Islam, the history of Hinduism, alchemy, everything. It goes back into the history of Africa and it's America, and it's all broken up in subtitles.
Great. Thank you guys so much. We're down to like the last 15 seconds. I just want to let you know. You can go ahead and finish, and then we'll end it there. So we're just going to let you guys go out. Go ahead and finish.
All right. So that's all I can offer because we have little time. So just take a look, and if there's any questions, my name is on the website. Hit me up with any questions.
And we're going to have you back on, I hope, because, the people were out there, and that just means, and they stayed on 2 hours. They're still there. The things that are really, really taking this in. So I hope that we can connect and just maybe come up with another topic or take this a bit further about awareness. for our race and our culture. Okay?
No doubt.
Okay, and I'll be in touch. Thank you guys so much. I wrote all this information down, so if you want it and need it, reach out to me and I'll have it available for you. And you can also go back and listen to the archive show and get the information as well. That being said, Mr. Curry, thank you for all the knowledge. Cody, thank you as well. Just been a great show. And I will connect you guys as well, too, okay?
All right, peace.
All right, thanks everyone.
All right.